Good evening, everyone. My name is Keela Freeman, and I want to welcome all of you to Runners for Christ Ministries Bible reading class. We thank God for each one of you that join in with us every week, and we ask that you help us by letting someone else know that this Bible reading class is here on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight, we'll be reading from the book of Ezekiel, chapters 45 through 48, and following that, we will begin answering the review questions. If you would like to take part in answering the review questions or make a comment, just press the number one button, and that will put you into the host queue, and your mic will be open for you to answer or ask a question or make a comment. Please do us a huge favor by keeping all background noise to zero if possible. And a good way to do this is to simply mute your phone when you're not speaking and unmuting it when you want to speak. So let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity to come together to study your word and to be in your presence today. We ask that you open our ears and our hearts to whatever it is you are wanting to teach us. We thank you for those with us, and we ask that you guide our thoughts and actions to bring you all the glory. Strengthen us and fill us with your peace and understanding. Amen. Now we will listen to chapters 45 through 48, and I will see you on the other side.
Chapter 45. When you divide the land among the tribes of Israel, you must set aside a section of it for the Lord as his holy portion. This piece of land will be 8 1/3 miles long and 6 2/3 miles wide. The entire area will be holy ground. A section of this land measuring 875 feet by 875 feet will be set aside for the temple. An additional strip of land 87.5 feet wide is to be left empty all around it. Within the larger sacred area, measure out a portion of land 8 1/3 miles long and 3 1/3 miles wide. Within it, the sanctuary of the most holy place will be located. This area will be a holy land set aside for the priests who minister to the Lord in the sanctuary. They will use it for their homes, and my temple will be located within it. The strip of sacred land next to it, also 8 1/3 miles long and 3 1/3 miles wide, will be a living area for the Levites who work at the temple. It will be their possession and a place for their towns. Adjacent to the larger sacred area will be a section of land 8 1/3 miles long and 1 2/3 miles wide. This will be set aside to be a city where anyone in Israel can come and live. Two special sections of land will be set apart for the prince. One section will share a border with the east side of the sacred lands and city, and the second section will share a border on the west side. Then the far eastern and western borders of the prince's lands will line up with the eastern and western boundaries of the tribal areas. These sections of land will be the prince's allotment. My princes will no longer oppress and rob my people. They will assign the rest of the land to the people, giving an allotment to each tribe. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Enough, you princes of Israel. Stop all your violence and oppression and do what is just and right. Quit robbing and cheating my people out of their land. Stop expelling them from their homes. You must use only honest weights and scales, honest dry volume measures and honest liquid volume measures. The homer will be your standard unit for measuring volume. The ephah and the bath will each measure 1/10 of a homer. The standard unit for weight will be the silver shekel. One shekel consists of 20 gerahs and 60 shekels are equal to one mina. This is the tax you must give to the prince, one bushel of wheat or barley for every 60 you harvest, 1% of your olive oil, and one sheep for every 200 in your flocks in Israel. These will be the grain offerings, burnt offerings, and peace offerings that will make atonement for the people who bring them, says the Sovereign Lord. All the people of Israel must join the prince in bringing their offerings. The prince will be required to provide offerings that are given at the religious festivals, the new moon celebrations, the Sabbath days, and all other similar occasions. He will provide the sin offerings, burnt offerings, grain offerings, drink offerings, and peace offerings to make reconciliation for the people of Israel. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. In early spring, on the first day of each new year, sacrifice a young bull with no physical defects to purify the temple. The priest will take some of the blood of this sin offering and put it on the doorposts of the temple, the four corners of the upper ledge on the altar, and the gateposts at the entrance to the inner courtyard. Do this also on the seventh day of the new year for anyone who has sinned through error or ignorance. In that way, you will make atonement for the temple. On the 14th day of the new year, you must celebrate the Passover. This festival will last for 7 days. Only bread without yeast may be eaten during that time. On the day of Passover, the prince will provide a young bull as a sin offering for himself and the people of Israel. On each of the 7 days of the feast, he will prepare a burnt offering to the Lord. This daily offering will consist of 7 young bulls and 7 rams without any defect. A male goat will also be given each day for a sin offering. The prince will provide a half bushel of flour as a grain offering and a gallon of olive oil with each young bull and ram. During the 7 days of the Festival of Shelters, which occurs every year in early autumn, the prince will provide these same sacrifices for the sin offering, the burnt offering, and the grain offering, along with the required olive oil. Chapter 46. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. The east gateway of the inner wall will be closed during the 6 workdays each week, but it will be open on Sabbath days and the days of new moon celebrations. The prince will enter the foyer of the gateway from the outside. Then he will stand by the gatepost while the priest offers his burnt offering and peace offering. He will worship inside the gateway passage and then go back out the way he came. The gateway will not be closed until evening. The common people will worship the Lord in front of this gateway on Sabbath days and the days of new moon celebrations. Each Sabbath day, the prince will present to the Lord a burnt offering of 6 lambs and 1 ram, all with no physical defects. He will present a grain offering of a half bushel of flour to go with the ram and whatever amount of flour he chooses to go with each lamb. He is to offer 1 gallon of olive oil for each half bushel of flour. At the new moon celebrations, he will bring 1 young bull, 6 lambs, and 1 ram, all with no physical defects. With the young bull, he must bring a half bushel of flour for a grain offering. With the ram, he must bring another half bushel of flour. And with each lamb, he is to bring whatever amount of flour that he decides to give. With each half bushel of flour, he must offer 1 gallon of olive oil. The prince must enter the gateway through the foyer, and he must leave the same way he came. But when the people come in through the north gateway to worship the Lord during the religious festivals, they must leave by the south gateway, and those who entered through the south gateway must leave by the north gateway. They must never leave by the same gateway they came in. They must always use the opposite gateway. The prince will enter and leave with the people on these occasions. So at the special feasts and sacred festivals, the grain offering will be a half bushel of flour with each young bull, another half bushel of flour with each ram, and as much flour as the prince chooses to give with each lamb. 1 gallon of oil is to be given with each half bushel of flour. Whenever the prince offers a voluntary burnt offering or peace offering to the Lord, the east gateway to the inner courtyard will be opened for him to enter, and he will offer his sacrifices just as he does on Sabbath days. Then he will turn and leave the way he entered, and the gateway will be shut behind him. Each morning, a year-old lamb with no physical defects must be sacrificed as a burnt offering to the Lord. With the lamb, a grain offering must also be given to the Lord, about 2.5 quarts of flour with 1/3 gallon of olive oil to moisten the flour. This will be a permanent law for you. The lamb, the grain offering, and the olive oil must be given as a daily sacrifice every morning without fail. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. If the prince gives a gift of land to one of his sons, it will belong to him and his descendants forever. But if he gives a gift of land to one of his servants, the servant may keep it only until the year of Jubilee, which comes every 50th year. At that time, the servant will be set free, and the land will return to the prince. Only the gifts given to the prince's sons will be permanent. And the prince may never take anyone's property by force. If he gives property to his sons, it must be from his own land, for I do not want any of my people unjustly evicted from their property. Then the man brought me through the entrance beside the gateway and led me to the sacred rooms assigned to the priests, which faced toward the north. He showed me a place at the extreme west end of these rooms. He explained, this is where the priests will cook the meat from the guilt offerings and sin offerings and bake the flour from the grain offerings into bread. They will do it here to avoid carrying the sacrifices through the outer courtyard and harming the people by transmitting holiness to them. Then he brought me back to the outer courtyard and led me to each of its four corners. In each corner, I saw an enclosure. Each of these enclosures was 70 feet long and 52.5 feet wide, surrounded by walls. Along the inside of these walls was a ledge of stone, with fireplaces under the ledge all the way around. The man said to me, these are the kitchens to be used by the temple assistants to boil the sacrifices offered by the people. Chapter 47. Then the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple. There I saw a stream flowing eastward from beneath the temple threshold. This stream then passed to the right of the altar on its south side. The man brought me outside the wall through the north gateway and led me around to the eastern entrance. There I could see the stream flowing out through the south side of the east gateway. Measuring as he went, he led me along the stream for 1,750 feet and told me to go across. At that point, the water was up to my ankles. He measured off another 1,750 feet and told me to go across again. This time, the water was up to my knees. After another 1,750 feet, it was up to my waist. Then he measured another 1,750 feet, and the river was too deep to cross without swimming. He told me to keep in mind what I had seen. Then he led me back along the riverbank. Suddenly, to my surprise, many trees were now growing on both sides of the river. Then he said to me, this river flows east through the desert into the Jordan Valley, where it enters the Dead Sea. The waters of this stream will heal the salty waters of the Dead Sea and make them fresh and pure. Everything that touches the water of this river will live. Fish will abound in the Dead Sea, for its waters will be healed. Wherever this water flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shores of the Dead Sea, fishing all the way from En Gedi to En Eglaim. The shores will be covered with nets drying in the sun. Fish of every kind will fill the Dead Sea, just as they fill the Mediterranean. But the marshes and swamps will not be purified. They will be sources of salt. All kinds of fruit trees will grow along both sides of the river. The leaves of these trees will never turn brown and fall, and there will always be fruit on their branches. There will be a new crop every month without fail, for they are watered by the river flowing from the temple. The fruit will be for food and the leaves for healing. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Follow these instructions for dividing the land for the 12 tribes of Israel. The tribe of Joseph will be given 2 shares of land. Otherwise, each tribe will receive an equal share. I swore that I would give this land to your ancestors, and it will now come to you as your inheritance. The northern border will run from the Mediterranean toward Hethlon, then on through Libo-Hemath to Zidad. Then it will run to Berotha and Sibarim, which are on the border between Damascus and Hamath, and finally to Hazer Hatikon on the border of Hauran. So the northern border will run from the Mediterranean to Hazar-Enan, on the border between Hamath to the north and Damascus to the south. The eastern border starts at a point between Hauran and Damascus and runs southward along the Jordan River between Israel and Gilead, past the Dead Sea, and as far south as Tamar. This will be the eastern border. The southern border will go west from Tamar to the waters of Meribah at Kadesh, and then follow the course of the Brook of Egypt to the Mediterranean. This will be the southern border. On the west side, the Mediterranean itself will be your border from the southern border to the point where the northern border begins opposite Libo-Hemath. Divide the land within these boundaries among the tribes of Israel. Distribute the land as an inheritance for yourselves and for the foreigners who have joined you and are raising their families among you. They will be just like native-born Israelites to you, and they will receive an inheritance among the tribes. All these immigrants are to be given land within the territory of the tribe with whom they now live. I, the Sovereign Lord, have spoken. Chapter 48. Here is the list of the tribes of Israel and the territory each is to receive. The territory of Dan is in the extreme north. Its boundary line follows the Hethlon Road to Libo Hamath and then runs on to Hazar Enan on the border of Damascus with Hamath to the north. Dan's territory extends all the way across the land of Israel from east to west. Asher's territory lies south of Dan's and also extends from east to west. Naphtali's land lies south of Asher's, also extending from east to west. Then comes Manasseh, south of Naphtali, and its territory also extends from east to west. South of Manasseh is Ephraim, and then Reuben, and then Judah, all of whose boundaries extend from east to west. South of Judah is the land set aside for a special purpose. It will be 8 1/3 miles wide and will extend as far east and west as the tribal territories, with the temple at the center. The area set aside for the Lord's temple will be 8 1/3 miles long and 6 2/3 miles wide. For the priests, there will be a strip of land measuring 8 1/3 miles long by 3 1/3 miles wide, with the Lord's temple at the center. This area is set aside for the ordained priests, the descendants of Zadok, who obeyed me and did not go astray when the people of Israel and the rest of the Levites did. It will be their special portion when the land is distributed, the most sacred land of all. Next to the priest territory will lie the land where the other Levites will live. The land allotted to the Levites will be the same size and shape as that belonging to the priests, 8 1/3 miles long and 3 1/3 miles wide. Together, these portions of land will measure 8 1/3 miles long by 6 2/3 miles wide. None of this special land will ever be sold or traded or used by others, for it belongs to the Lord. It is set apart as holy. An additional strip of land, 8 1/3 miles long by 1 2/3 miles wide, south of the sacred temple area, will be allotted for public use, homes, pasture lands, and common lands with a city at the center. The city will measure 1 1/2 miles on each side. Open lands will surround the city for 150 yards in every direction. Outside the city, there will be a farming area that stretches 3 1/3 miles to the east and 3 1/3 miles to the west along the border of the sacred area. This farmland will produce food for the people working in the city. Those who come from the various tribes to work in the city may farm it. This entire area, including the sacred lands and the city, is a square that measures 8 1/3 miles on each side. The areas that remain to the east and to the west of the sacred lands and the city will belong to the prince. Each of these areas will be 8 1/3 miles wide, extending in opposite directions to the eastern and western borders of Israel. So the prince's land will include everything between the territories allotted to Judah and Benjamin, except for the areas set aside for the sacred lands and the city. These are the territories allotted to the rest of the tribes. Benjamin's territory lies just south of the prince's lands, and it extends across the entire land of Israel from east to west. South of Benjamin's territory lies that of Simeon, also extending across the land from east to west. Next is the territory of Issachar, with the same eastern and western boundaries. Then comes the territory of Zebulun, which also extends across the land from east to west. The territory of Gad is just south of Zebulun with the same borders to the east and west. The southern border of Gad runs from Tamar to the waters of Meribah Kadesh and then follows the brook of Egypt to the Mediterranean. These are the allotments that will be set aside for each tribe's inheritance, says the Sovereign Lord. These will be the exits to the city. On the north wall, which is 1 1/2 miles long, there will be 3 gates, each one named after a tribe of Israel. The first will be named for Reuben, the second for Judah, and the third for Levi. On the east wall, also 1 1/2 miles long, the gates will be named for Joseph, Benjamin, and Dan. The south wall, also 1 1/2 miles long, will have gates named for Simeon, Issachar, and Zebulun. And on the west wall, also 1 1/2 miles long, the gates will be named for Gad, Asher, and Naphtali. The distance around the entire city will be 6 miles, and from that day the name of the city will be The Lord Is There.
Okay, now we'll begin answering the questions, but before we do that, I wanted to do a quick overview. Chapter 45 and 26 is continuing with the various laws governing the rights and the personnel of the sanctuary. 47 describes a healing water and everything that is affected and that the water flows through and has contact with comes back to life. The river flows into the Dead Sea and make it alive again with fish and vegetation. And then 48, pretty much ending on the note of peace, order, and reconciliation with God. Okay, thank you. So we will begin with question number one. What area of the temple was set aside for the priests who ministered to the Lord in the sanctuary?
Chapter 45, verse 2 through 4.
Okay, I had 3 and 4, but you can read 2. Go to 2.
Okay, I'm good. 2, a section of this land measuring 875 feet by 875 feet will be set aside for the temple. An additional strip of land, 87 and a half feet wide, is to be left empty all around it. Within the larger sacred area, measure out a portion of land 8 1/3 miles long and 3 1/3 miles wide within a sanctuary of the most holy place will be located. This area will be holy, set aside for the priests who minister to the Lord in the sanctuary. They will use it for their homes, and my temple will be located within it. Amen.
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 Okay. Question number 2 is, what were the rules for the princes?
Is that chapter 45, 9 through 11?
9 through 12. Yeah.
Ooh, wow.
Can you read it for me? Thank you.
Sure. It reads as follows. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Enough, you princes of Israel. Stop your violence and oppression and do what is just and right. Quit robbing and feeding my people out of their land. Stop expelling them from their homes, says the Sovereign Lord. Use only honest weights and scales and honest measures, both dry and liquid. The homer will be your standard unit for measuring volume. The ephah and the bath will each measure 1/10 of a homer. The standard unit for weight will be the silver shekel. One shekel will consist of 20 gerahs, and 60 shekels will be equal to one mina. Amen.
Amen. And I just wanted to make a comment. Now, isn't it something how the priests and the people that were leaders were robbing the people who they looked up to? That was something. So if we would go to church,
if you think about it, who can they tell somebody like what you just said? So those are the high people. So who can you tell them? You want to tell on them? Who can you tell? Because they're
right.
They're the top people. Right. But I see what you're saying, but they're the top people, so you ain't nobody they can tell. But it is ironic that these are the people that's ripping off the people that looks up to them.
Right, the people who they're supposed to be helping.
Right.
Yeah, that's something. Okay, thank you, guys. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Question number 3. To make the people of Israel right with the Lord, what was the prince required to do?
I had 45. 17.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it says the prince will be required to provide offerings that are given at the religious festivals, the new moon celebrations, the Sabbath days, and all other similar occasions. He will provide the sin offerings, burnt offerings, grain offerings, liquid offerings, and peace offerings to purify the people of Israel, making them right with the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Amen. All right. Anybody have anything else?
We ain't gonna say it now that we know that it's wrong.
All right. Okay. Question.
Because I'm one of the ones with one of the wrong answers.
Okay. Question number four: to purify the temple, what had to be done by the priest?
45:18-20. Who was that? Go ahead.
No, I'm good with you. Go ahead. You say it, Mother.
All right, thank you. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. In early spring, on the first day of each new year, sacrifice a young bull with no defects to purify the temple. The priest will take blood from this sin offering and put it on the doorpost of the temple, the four corners of the outer ledge of the altar, and the gate post at the entrance to the inner courtyard. So this also on the seventh day of the new year of, or anyone who has sinned through error or ignorance. In this way, you will purify the temple. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
All right. It says, number five, were there specific ordinances given to the prince and common people?
Yes.
Okay, yes, too.
Okay.
Well, go ahead. You can go ahead, Sister Johnson.
Well, I had 45:16. To support my answer.
I have 46, 2 and 3.
I have 1 through 3.
Okay.
46, 1 through 3.
I have 46, 2 and 3.
Okay.
I want to go back to just that number. I have chapter 46, 1 through 8. But, Rebecca, you have said 45, number 16.
Yeah, but I can be wrong.
Okay,
It says all the people of Israel must join in bringing these offerings to the prince.
Okay. Okay, now let's go over to chapter 46. Okay, Reesing, anybody have one? Because I have 1 through 8. So anybody?
I have 1 through 3.
I had 1 through 3.
Okay. All right, let's
go ahead.
Somebody read it for me.
This is what the servant of the Lord said. The east gateway of the inner courtyard will be closed during the 6 work days each week, but it will be open on Sabbath day. In the days of the new moon celebration, the prince will enter the entry room of the gateway from the outside. Then he will stand by the gate post while the priest offers his burnt offerings, peace offerings. He will bow down and worship inside the gateway passage, and then go back out the way he came. The gateway will not be closed until evening. The common people will bow down and worship the Lord in front of the gateway on 7 days and the day of the new moon celebration.
Okay, amen. And that's 1 through 3. And I'm trying to see why did I include, okay, with the young boy, he must bring a basket or whatever. I went all the way down to 8. And what was your question? Okay. Okay, so you did 2 and 3, Reese. Okay, and I'm 1 through 4. Okay, each Sabbath day, the prince will present to the Lord a burnt offering of 6 lambs and 1 ram, all with no defect. He will present a grain offering of a basket of choice flour to go with the ram, and whatever amount of the flour he chooses to go with each lamb. He is to offer 1 gallon of the olive oil for each basket of flour. And at the new moon celebration, he will bring 1 young bull, 6 lambs, and 1 lamb, all with no defect. With the young bull, he must bring a basket of choice flour for grain offering. With the ram, he must bring another basket of flour. And with each lamb, he has to bring whatever amount of flour he chooses to give. With each basket of flour, he must offer 1 gallon of olive oil.
I stopped at three because the next question was, what was the permanent law for the priest? And I went 4 to 14.
Okay, well, and what I had for the permanent law, I had 13 and 14 for the permanent law. I'm scrolling down to it.
Okay. The reason I went from 4 was because it started with how it started and how it ended up as a permanent law. That's why I went from 4 to 14.
Okay. Okay, if you go now to 13 and 14, but at the end of 14, it'll tell you.
This will be a permanent law for you.
Right. I had 14, but I'm telling you that's why I stopped at 3, because 4 told you how they got to the permanent law. That's why I had 4 to 14.
Okay.
Okay. 13 and 14.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? That's why I did. I'm just telling you
why. Well, we're all right. There's no wrong answer.
Oh, I know. I'm like,
yeah. Yeah, it's no wrong answer.
I'm telling you why I didn't do to 8. I see why you went to 8.
Yeah.
But I went from 4 to 14 for the permanent law because it led up to what the permanent law was.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you. Did anybody have anything else?
No.
Okay.
I had 1 to 3, though. You're talking about for number 5 or number 6?
Number 5. We on 5, but I was saying.
Yeah, you're number 5. I just had 1 to 3, and I said that it was true. I said it was true, and I had 1 to 3.
I said but I said it's 2 and 3, so.
Okay. And that's what I had covered, 1 through 8. But we were just on number 6 because that one was the permanent law for the priest. So
right.
That's correct.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so now we're on number 7. If
now,
prince,
what was the answer for 6? We were just getting to that when you started out the reading.
Yes,
okay,
I
had 13 and 14. Chapter 46, 13 and 14.
14, mm-hmm. And I had 46, 4 to 14. So.
Well, thank you for that. I didn't get that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. We ready for number 7?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Yeah. If a prince gave one of his sons a gift of land, how long could they keep it?
Chapter 46, I had 16 and 17.
That's what I hear.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay.
This is what the sovereign Lord says. If the prince gives a gift of land to one of his sons as an inheritance, it will belong to him as his descendants forever. But if the prince gives a gift of land from his inheritance to one of his servants, the servant will make keep it until the year of Jubilee, which comes every 50th year. And at that time, the land will return to the prince. But when the prince gives gifts to his son, those gifts will be permanent. Amen?
Amen.
And
okay,
I think
question.
I had no for it. Was it a yes or no? Because I had no for something.
I had no, too.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I see. Would it be the same for the land given to the prince service, yes or no? Okay, yeah, I had no. All right.
Okay, I got that part
okay,
right.
So that was number eight.
That was number seven.
That was number seven, but it didn't have a yes or no. The number eight had the yes or no question.
No.
On our paper, it's number seven.
Okay, hang on. Let me see something because we did a revised.
Because seven even had two questions.
Why?
Yeah, a part B question, a part A and B.
Yeah.
Okay, and then it went into the about the servants, if he gave his servants that, and the answer was no.
Yes.
Correct?
Right.
All right. What you have for number eight, can you read your question for number eight?
It was the prince ever able to take anyone's property by force? And I had 46 to verse 18.
Yeah, correct.
Me too.
At least by me is correct.
Okay, what about 46:20? Let me look at 18 and 20. Let me see.
Okay, I'm seeing what 46:20 is.
You didn't read the whole 18, though, did you?
I didn't read it yet, no.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead, read 18.
And the prince may never take anyone's property by force if he gives property to his son. It must be from his own land, for I do not want any of my people unjustly evicted from their property. Amen.
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 Yes, indeed, Sister Reese.
All right. Okay. All right. Let's go to the next question, which on my paper I have nine.
Yes.
Okay. What do you have for nine?
Which streams of water
would make the salty waters of the Dead Sea fresh and pure again?
Okay.
I had 47 and 8.
When I returned, I was surprised by the sight of seeing the trees growing on both sides. Then he said, the river flows from the east. Okay, what was the priest able? Which streams of water would make the salty waters of the Dead Sea fresh and pure again?
I don't see nothing other than just eight. I mean, that's not just me. I'm just trying to see where else did it go.
Not returned. I was surprised by the sight of this. Meaning growing trees on both sides of the river. Okay, then he said the river flows through the east desert into the valley of the Dead Sea. The waters of this stream will make the salty waters of the Dead Sea fresh and pure. And then number seven talked about when I returned, he was surprised to see the sight of the trees growing from the water flowing. So
yeah, that's
why I had seven, eight.
That's That's why I had 1 through 8, because it led from him having the vision of the guy measuring the water, and each time the water was higher and higher. And he was talking to him about remembering what he saw. Then he remembered that the trees, he saw the trees on both sides of the river where they were growing food and leaves. And then it did. Then he saw why they were growing, because the Dead Sea water was not salty and it was pure. That's why I went 1 through 8.
Okay. All righty then.
Okay. All right. So was everybody clear on number 9? Now, any questions or any other comments?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Number 10, what kind of fish will fill the Dead Sea just as they had filled the Mediterranean Sea?
I had 9 and 10. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Mm-mm. I had 10 only.
Okay.
And that's all I had, 47-10.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fishermen will stand along the shores of the Dead Sea, all the way from Injirdi to, sorry about that, the shores will be covered with nets drying in the sun. Fish of every kind will fill the Dead Sea just as they fill the Mediterranean.
Yeah, amen.
Okay.
So that's why I thought it was 9.
And I thought 9 and 10 as well.
I said because it said there will be swarms of living things wherever the water of this river flows. Fish will abound the Dead Sea, for its waters will become fresh. Life will flourish wherever this water flows. Then it tells how the fishermen caught up with the fish, but 9 tells you that the reason the fish can live in that water because it was becoming unsalty.
See, I had 9 and 10.
Me too.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, we're going to go on to number 11. The Lord said the fruit that came from the fruit trees would be for food. And what would the leaves be for?
Medicine.
Is that 47 verse 12?
That's what I had.
Yes,
I have.
Okay, it reads as follows. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow along both sides of the river. The leaves of these trees will never turn brown and fall, and there will always be fruit in their branches. There will be a new crop every month, for they are watered by the river flowing from the temple. The fruit will be for food and the leaves for healing.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, can we think of one leaf that heals right now that my mother used to tell me about all the time? What you say, Mother Irma?
You can go out in the yard and just clip it off and bring it. I can't think of the name of it. I have one.
Aloe vera.
Yeah. Yeah, my mother would talk about aloe vera all the time, and she had a plant, and she would cut it and
yeah, but
push out the stuff and put it on the floor.
Yeah, if you got a cut, it'll still that cut.
Yeah.
Worked for me.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to also mention, when talking about the river, how it's compared to how God's love and healing is with us in the book of Revelation. So it's like if I read off of my application part, it would say that the sea that will be healed refers to the Dead Sea, a body of water that's so salty that nothing can live in it, yet the river will heal the Dead Sea water so they can support life. This is another picture of the life-giving nature of water that now flows from God's temple. God's power can transform us no matter how endless or corrupt we may be, or sinless or corrupt we may be. Even when we feel messed up and beyond hope, his power still can heal us.
Amen.
Makes a lot of sense.
Was that in here, this reading?
Yeah, it was a part of the reading. I just went a little further because I'm still looking out of the I'm still studying out of the book of the King James Version. And with it, I study the life's application, so it makes a lot more sense to me.
And you went to where? How far did you go?
That was actually from, that was 47, 8, and 9 that I was looking at there. And when looking at 47, 1 through 12, it just expands on the river symbolizing life from God and his blessings that follows from his throne. And it is a gentle, safe, deep river expanding as its trust flows through us.
And Kay, you said you Revelation references that as well.
Yeah, well, Revelation references how God cleanses us. And they make the analysis between Ezekiel 47, 1 through 12, and Revelation as 22, 1 and 2. You know, those direct correlations. So if you kind of look between the two of them, you can see how, even though they're talking about what happened with the river, it's still a connotation, and everything is always associated with God and Christ, exactly how it is associated, or, you know, an analogy.
Let me read Revelation 22, verse 1 and 2. Then the angel showed me a river with the water of life, clean as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. It flowed down the center of the main street. On each side of the river grew a tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, with a fresh crop each month. The leaves were used for medicine to heal the nation. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, and yeah, I second that motion on the Life Application Study Bible being so much easier and helpful.
Yeah, because I kind of get lost in King James. I think I understand it one way, then it's another way with the Life Application, but you never can go wrong when you ask him that the Holy Spirit give you the discernment.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
All right. Okay. So I'm trying to see what question we. Okay. I think number 12. How much land was given to the descendants of Joseph?
I had 47, 13, and 14. 13, 14, birth.
Yes. Yes.
This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Divide the land in this way for the 12 tribes of Israel. The descendants of Joseph will be given 2 shares of land. Otherwise, each tribe will receive an equal share. I took a solemn oath and swore that I would give this land to your ancestors, and it will now come to you as your possession.
Amen. Okay, what was considered, this is number 13, what was considered the most sacred part of the land?
48. 48
through 12.
You say 9 through 12?
I said 8 through 12.
Oh.
But you can read it.
I just said 20.
Okay, I have 13. Okay, 48. Okay, somebody say 8 through 12.
Me.
Okay.
I had 9 through 12. Go ahead. Start at 8?
Yeah.
South of Judah is the land set aside for a special purpose. It will be 8 1/3 miles wide and will extend as far east and west as the tribal territories with the temple at the center. The area set aside for the Lord's temple will be 8 1/3 miles long, 6 2/3 miles wide. For the priests, there will be a strip of land measuring 8 1/3 miles long by 3 1/3 miles wide, with the Lord's temple at the center. This area is set aside for the ordained priests, the descendants of Zadok, who served me faithfully and did not go astray with the people of Israel and the rest of the Levites. It will be their special portion when the land is distributed, the most sacred land of all, next to the priest territory will lie the land where the other Levites will live. The land allotted to the Levites will be the same size and shape as that belonging to the priest, 8 3/4 mile long, 3 1/3 miles wide. Together, these portions of land will measure 8 3/4 miles long by 6 2/3 miles wide. None of the special land will ever be sold or traded or used by others, for it belongs to the Lord, and it is set apart as holy. Amen?
Amen.
Is that?
Amen.
I thought you said 8 to 12.
I know, it's just the same. He went to 13. That was fine.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Could any of the special land be sold? Is that the question you all have for 14?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't answer that question. My bad.
No. No, it could not.
Okay.
And that I found that in 48:14.
Yeah.
And it stated, and they shall not sell it, neither exchange nor alienate the first fruits of the land, for it is holy unto the Lord.
Okay. Amen. All right. And then the question number 15. Kay, can you read your question number 15 for me?
Yes. After the land was distributed and the city was rebuilt, what will the city be renamed?
I had 48:35.
That's what I had.
Me too.
Yep, I got the same thing.
Yeah, me too.
And it was called The Lord Is There. The verse read, it was round about 18,000 measures, and the name of the city from that day shall be The Lord Is There.
Amen. I'm sorry, were you saying something, Rebecca? What you doing?
No.
Okay. Well, this is the time that we normally ask Pastor to jump in, but I don't think he's with us. I think
hi, everybody. Just standing in for the pastor, because you know a pastor's work is never done, and therefore he is out on a run. So keep him in prayer. Okay?
Okay.
Yes. So we want to remind you of the upcoming week, if I can read my writing, Let me see. Okay, so today is Wednesday, so Thursday, Friday, you have Bring Back the Family, be a part of the solution. We're going to have, just get involved and be a part of the solution. We're going to have, like, the superintendent of eCourse Public Schools on Friday. And, you know, if we don't help our youth now, we'll be victims of not helping later. So get involved. Then on Saturday, we have our Pastor Janice's women's Bible study. And you can tune in at 11:30 on Saturday. And then teaching the morning Saturday school at 9 o'clock. That's Sister Janice's class at 9 o'clock on our Saturday service, and followed by the 10 a.m. service. Okay? And then followed by Sunday church service at Riverwood High School, 9 o'clock Sunday school, Pastor Janice Tate, teacher. And that starts at probably at 9 a.m. on Sunday, and then 10 o'clock service at the Riverwood High School. And just continue to keep all of our sick and shut in your prayers. We already know who's all on the list. I don't want to miss any names. And just, you know, just pray for everybody. And I think that's it. If, I can think of anything else. I think you always mention Reverend Richard Overall on Tuesdays, his 4 o'clock show. And just check the website, rfcmrunningforchristministries.org, rfcm.org, for all the information and for tuning in. Pastor Earl is going to be preaching today and Saturday, the 4th Saturday. I'm not quite sure. But tune in for all those services and govern yourselves accordingly, okay? All right. We can have prayer. And that'll be it. That was a good class, very good class. A lot of listeners and a lot of participation. And let's keep everybody in prayer. Thank you, Keela.
Okay, thank you. I want to thank everybody for participating and studying with us tonight. And I just wanted to make a comment about the book of Ezekiel, is that we learned that the spiritual is just as important as the physical. God's power and plan for his people to pass is the physical limitations of our life here on earth. And he will make things new once again. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word and the study of the book of Ezekiel. Thank you for helping us to understand it, and thank you for your Holy Spirit. I would also like to pray for the families in Tennessee that were affected by the horrible school shooting. Keep their families in your prayer. And I also pray that what we discuss will help others be a blessing to someone, and we be blessed as well. So I praise and glorify you in the name of Jesus. Amen. And thank everybody.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen, teacher.
Good class.
Amen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Amen.
Okay. So thank you, everybody. Just have a song, and we will, everybody just have.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Amen.
Well, well.
It belongs to me. Salvation belongs to me. And I have everything to make salvation complete. 'Cause I know the work is already done by the power of his blood. I know it's mine. Call.